Are you tired of living with the pain of the past? Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell challenges us to go beyond what we ever dreamed was possible.
In Christ, we have a righteousness that can never be tarnished. In Christ, we have a peace that can never be understood. And we have resources that will never be exhausted. We have everything we need in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And may we walk not like we are orphans and without, but as children of the King in Christ and ready to go forward for the Lord Jesus Christ.
We all have things that try to hold us back. Guilt from past mistakes or temptations that we can't seem to overcome. It's easy to learn to live with these problems and accept them as who we are. But God has called us to reach forth and fulfill a greater calling in life. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. In our series, Reaching Forth, Dr. Chappell encourages you to leave behind negative mindsets and the limitations others have put on you, and to reach forth to new levels of victory. And now, here's Dr. Paul Chappell with part one of a message called Reaching Forth with Care.
Well, in our text this morning, the Apostle Paul is thanking the Philippian church for being a people who cared continually for the needs of others. The Bible tells us that Paul was writing this letter of Philippians from a Roman prison. He was in the city of Rome. He had a guard that was handcuffed to him. And yet, even while he was in this time of imprisonment, he is writing to the other churches and communicating with them. He was in this time of imprisonment, and yet he also was still hearing from the churches that he had helped before. I want you to notice how far he was from Philippi as he was there in Rome. In fact, the pastor from the church at Philippi, Epaphras, had brought a gift all the way to him several hundred miles away. And one of the reasons Paul wrote this book was to thank the church for the offering that they had sent. This took place around 62 AD. It was a time when Christianity, while being suppressed by the Roman government, nevertheless was flourishing throughout the known world. And verse 10 of our text really shows us the heart of the Philippians. It says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again." So we get the idea that this church was a very caring church, and that their care wasn't like back in the day, but that it was presently still happening. They were helping the work of the Apostle Paul. You know, for centuries, Christians have been the primary agents of charity and compassion in the Western culture. Whether you look at colleges or hospitals or orphanages or relief organizations, you're normally going to find a small band of Christians who have compassion in their heart, who care to make a difference in this world. And that is exactly what was happening in Philippi. They were in northern Macedonia, an impoverished region. Yet, despite their poverty, they gave liberally so that others could hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, Lancaster Baptist Church has been a caring church for three decades. For more than three decades, we have gone to nearly every home in northern LA County with the gospel. In the last 20 years, we have been to more than 400,000 households every year with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We, every Sunday, run 15 buses to underprivileged homes to bring children to Sunday school, to feed them meals, to spread the love of Christ throughout our community. We have many programs like the Love Works program, where we have painted high schools and veterans' homes, and where we have passed out coffee in Jesus' name, doing everything we know how to do to be a caring church. This entire campus is a testimony to our community that we care for every person from every background and of every age. But the question this morning And the question as we come together tonight is, how do we continue that legacy? How can we continue to be a people like these people in the first century who were willing to care for others, even people that they had never met before? Well, I want you to learn with me this morning three principles from the Philippians that all of us can glean from today. I want you to notice, first of all, the communication of the church. The communication of this church. The Bible says in verse 14, "Notwithstanding ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction." Verse 15, "Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only." Now, when we think of the word communication, we might think of a text or an email or something on Twitter or Facebook. But for those of you that take notes, I want you to get a little bit deeper with me on the meaning of the word communicate. The word here means to share in common or to participate with. So they weren't just telling Paul, hey, how's it going, or sending him an email, but by sending him an offering, they were communicating and participating with him. In essence, they were saying, we're with you, we're with the Christians at Rome, and we want you to know that we're buying in, we're all in to the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The apostle does not simply tell us here that this was a joint contribution, but he says more than that. That they had joined with him, that they were helping him to get the gospel out. We see this word in other passages of the Bible. In your notes, I've placed Galatians 6:6. It says, "Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things." So the word communicate is to say, I'm standing with you. And when they communicated in giving, they were saying, we stand with the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, there are a lot of people today that are willing to send an email. They're willing to have a bumper sticker. But not everyone is willing to communicate with giving and receiving. Not everyone wants to get all in that way. I heard of a mother that was preparing some pancakes for her two boys. Kevin was 5, Ryan was 3. And they began to argue over who would get the first pancake. And mom thought this would be a good opportunity to kind of teach them a little moral lesson. And so the mother said, look, boys, if Jesus were sitting here, he would say, let my brother have the first pancake. I can wait. And so Kevin heard that and he said, okay, Ryan, you be Jesus. Now, there's a lot of people who are willing to let the other person give the first pancake, right? A lot of people willing to sign up and say, well, I'm a member of the church. A lot of people willing to say, I believe in God or Jesus. But the Philippians, they wanted to communicate at a deeper level than that. They wanted to say to the Apostle Paul, we're all in with getting the gospel out. As you plant these churches, we're with you. We're communicating with you in giving and receiving. Now, they communicated in three ways, and I want you to hear those ways. First, they communicated personally. The Bible says in verse 14, notwithstanding ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Notice this personal pronoun. It was personal to the Apostle Paul. We're standing with you. Some of you may remember the story during World War II of the Berlin airlifts and how there was a particular captain by the name of Captain Halvorsen who he had a burden for those on the eastern side of the wall. And many of us will recall that it wasn't until President Reagan stood there and said at the Brandenburg Gate, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. It wasn't until that time that those on the eastern side of the wall in East Berlin were living a very impoverished life, a very difficult life. But going back into the 40s under the communist oppression, this captain, he began to take his meal rations and his chocolate rations, and he got the idea that as he ran his missions each day, he would dip his wing over on the east side just enough to drop some of his candy down to those children in the schools in East Berlin. Soon, some of his friends began to do the same thing, these little makeshift parachutes, and they would drop the candy down, and somehow Hershey heard about it all the way back in Pennsylvania. They began to ship chocolate all the way to Germany, and the Berlin airlifts became a thing of history. The children of East Berlin would have chocolate coming down during their school playground time and into parks, and it was a tremendous blessing to them. Terry and I, several years ago, were in Berlin, and we met a lady there, and we were talking with her. She told us she was from Esperland, and we began to tell her about the gospel of Jesus Christ, and she began to tell us about these airlifts. And I'll never forget listening to this grown woman talk to us about this chocolate coming out of the sky. And she got tears. By the way, most women would cry over chocolate coming out of the sky. I understand that, but we're going to go a little deeper than that right now, okay? She got tears in her eyes when she looked at me and she looked at Terry and she said, you know, really, it wasn't the chocolate. It was knowing that we were not forgotten. Knowing that we were not forgotten. The Bible says in Acts 20 and verse 35, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, so laboring and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, who said, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. We must learn to communicate personally. But notice, secondly, they communicated exclusively. And what I mean by this is that not everyone else was involved in this giving. Notice in verse 15, it says, now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving. You see, this church stood out. This church was stepping out by faith while others were waiting. And I hear the stories of churches that don't run buses anymore to get the children, or churches that are dropping services or declining in this way or that. And that saddens my heart. But tonight, as a church, we're going to step forward. We're going to reach forth into seeing God doing something great. And whether we do it while lots of others are doing it, or whether we do it alone, is not the important thing. What is important is that we obey God's Spirit speaking into our heart. The Philippian stewardship was really a barometer of their spiritual growth. Were they going to be bumper sticker Christians, or were they going to get wholly involved in spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ? This was an opportunity for them to evidence their love. And what I have found is that love takes the stewing out of stewardship. Love takes the stew out of stewardship. You know, Terry and I aren't going to be worried about things tonight. We're not going to be rubbing our hands. How's this going to work? Listen, we are passionately involved in doing the work that God has called us to do. And this church did it exclusively. But notice, thirdly, they communicated consistently. They were very consistent. Verse 16 says, for even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. You see, they had given 10 years prior, and now they're continually giving to the work of the Lord. Winston Churchill said, we make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give. And what a life totally surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see them continually giving. Here they see the Apostle Paul in a Roman prison. They send their own pastor with an offering, with a coat to cover him, to keep him warm. What a blessing. And what I have found, and many of you as well who've been Christians and who've been a part of this church through the years, is that repeat giving requires repeat growth, continually growing in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. We can't rest on yesterday's growth or yesterday's grace. How many of you understand we need new grace today? And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 7, therefore as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that you grow in this grace also. Paul said, keep growing in the grace of giving, in seeing the need and taking the lead, meeting the needs that others have in their life. When I first began preaching here in Lancaster, we met in downtown Lancaster, 304 West Lancaster Boulevard, and we could not use our own main auditorium. We rented it to another group just to try to make ends meet, and our payment every month was $1,900 a month. Our offerings were $300 a week. You do the math. It was tight. And so we rented out that building, and we met in a little building upstairs, and soon we had enough people that I went to the church downstairs, and I said, we need you to vacate. We need to start using the auditorium. And I mean, we were getting to be a big church. We were having 50 people every Sunday in church, and then 60, and then 70, during that time, I was preaching about serving the Lord. Terry was teaching the kindergartners all the way to the sixth grade, and we needed some more workers in the children's ministries, and we needed some ushers, and I was preaching about serving the Lord and doing your part. And one Sunday morning, as I preached that message and we gave the altar call, there was a dear lady in the church. Her name was Clara Doherty. We later named that upstairs room in her honor. And Clara came to the front, and she was 87 years old. She shook my hand and she said to me, she said, Pastor, she said, I really don't know how I can serve or what I can do, But she said, there's two things I can do. She said, I can pray and I can pay. And she said, you can count on me to pray for you and to pay my tithes and offerings to the Lord. And she said, I just want you to know that you can count on me. You see, here was a woman, though she was 87, still growing in grace, still wanting her life to count, still wanting to have a part in the work of the Lord. Oh, I think about this country in which we live and how blessed we are. Forbes magazine had an article not long ago. In the article, they told us that there were 946 billionaires on planet Earth. And when they averaged together all of the philanthropic giving and all of the philanthropy that they were involved in, those billionaires gave only 1.2% of their income to charitable contributions. Oftentimes, it's those with the most who do the least. The great thing about Philippi, they had little, but they were generous with what they had. God was working a work of grace in their heart. And so today, we see the communication of the church. It wasn't just an email or a howdy. But with their giving, they were involved, standing with the gospel message. Notice secondly this morning, the credit that went to the church. Now, this is a great spiritual principle. If you've never studied this verse, you're going to get a blessing. Look at verse 17. It says this, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Now, Paul said, this isn't about me getting a gift. He said, this is about fruit to your account. I desire fruit that may abound to your account. One of the great joys of giving through a soul-winning local church is the benefit Paul alludes to here. The fact that anyone who supports the work of God will have fruit to their account in heaven. How many of you understand God sees and knows all things? How many of you believe in a God that big? He's an all-knowing God. And the Bible says that when we are a part of supporting His work, and when lives are touched through that work, then we get dividends from that, and we have fruit that is abounding to our account. And the fact of the matter is that there are thousands of children that attend Sunday schools here at Lancaster Baptist Church, and we're not going to meet all of them, and you're not going to teach all of them, but all of us can have a part in their lives. And I believe this. One day you'll meet some of those children in heaven, and they'll say, my name's Johnny, and I went to the Sunday school at Lancaster Baptist, and your tithe put gas in the bus that brought me, and your offering built the building that was used to teach me the gospel, and I want to thank you for helping to bring me to Jesus Christ. And that, my friend, is fruit to your account. And when we give to the work of the Lord, we're giving to an economy that doesn't go down. It's not dependent upon the stock market. It's not dependent upon the housing market. Listen, we are privileged to give to the Lord a gift that has an eternal dividend. What a tremendous blessing. Paul says, it is fruit that abounds to your account. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Years ago, there was a preacher that went to hear John Wesley, and some of you have heard of the Wesleys, John and Charles Wesley in England. They founded the Methodist Church, and as they were preaching in those days, a lot of times just out in the open fields and under trees, and one day Wesley was going to preach, John Wesley was, in a field, and a farmer said, I'm going to go hear him. He and his wife went, and Wesley began to preach. He said, I'm going to preach today about money. And as he began speaking about money, he said, now, first of all, you need to get all you can. And the farmer looked at his wife and said, now, that man's got something there. I like this kind of preaching. And second of all, Wesley said, now, he said, you need to save all you can. And the farmer said to his wife, that's good, too. I like this preacher. Those are good points right there. And the third point was, and then you need to give all you can. Farmer looked at his wife and said, that preacher got way off on that third point right there. Now, the fact of the matter is that if we are not careful, we fail to look at this matter as a spiritual matter. And God says that as we give, Paul said, it's not a matter of what I get. He said, it's fruit that I desire for your account. It's the best investment that you will ever make. And not only was it fruit to their account, but I want you to see something else. Letter B, it was pleasing to the Lord. This was going to please the Lord. Now look at this in verse 18. The Bible says, but I have all, Paul's speaking, and I abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. Now notice this phrase here, talking about the offering. An odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Now we see the apostles' need was met, but more than that, this offering pleased God. It was an odor of a sweet smell. It was something that you might liken to a type of incense that was pleasant. It was a form of worship, an odor of a sweet smell, well pleasing to God. Now, sometimes people will say, well, you know, I'm under grace and there's nothing I can do that pleases God. And so let me help you understand the facts here about pleasing God. First of all, nothing that we will ever do will help God to love us more. He loved us when we were in our sin. How many of you are thankful for His love today? I mean, He loves us. And yes, if you're saved, you are forgiven, you are positioned in Christ, set apart. His blood has covered your sin. And what a gift to know that you're saved. So the question is this: after I'm saved, is it possible to please God? Is it possible to displease God? We don't want to live in the fear of the judgment of God. That's not what we're talking about. But is it possible to please God? And by the way, if it is possible, why would I not want to please the God who sent His Son to die for my sin? And I want you to understand today, it is possible to please God. Notice in your notes, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4 says, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please Him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Now, I don't know about you, but I want our soldiers, when they're on the front lines, I want them to be dedicated to the cause of the battle. I remember years ago when my parents were missionaries in Korea, and one day my brother and I, we went downtown and we were just enjoying some free time, and there were some men there from the United States military, and they'd been drinking too much, and as we were waiting in a taxi stand, one of the GIs, he was arguing with the taxi driver, and he kicked the taxi and dented it. And I remember I was the next one to get into the taxi, and the man looked at me and he said, "No, no Americans, no Americans." Not a good feeling. Why? Because our soldiers had become entangled with the affairs of this life. By the way, that would not be pleasing to their commanding officers. You know what I'm talking about. And God says for us as Christians, if we get entangled in the affairs of this life, that's not pleasing to the Lord. That's not something that He wants to see in our life. Look at Hebrews 13, 16. "But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices," what do those next three words say? Four words. God is what? Well pleased. See, with the sacrifices we make, God is well pleased. Look at 2 Corinthians 9, 7. It says this: "Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity." Say it with me. "For God loveth a cheerful giver." So God loveth a cheerful giver. He's pleased with a cheerful giver. And all I'm praying for tonight is that whatever we do tonight pleases God. That ought to be our heart's desire. It ought to be, "Lord, I want to please You and honor You to the best of the abilities You've given to me. I want to please my God." And so we see the communication of the church, that they were willing with their giving to say, "I'm all in." And then we see, secondly here, the credit to the church, that there was fruit to their account, and that they could actually please God with their lives and their sacrifice. But I want you to notice one more principle this morning. I want you to notice, finally, the consolation for the church. There is consolation given. They've been giving and giving. And so look at what it says in verse 19. And I want you to find this, if you would, in your notes in your Bible. We're going to read it together. Verse 19, because we all need to remember this today. Verse 19 says, let's say it together, ready, begin. "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Now it's as if the Holy Spirit could sense some that would say, "Well, we gave when you went to Macedonia. We're giving while you're in Rome. We gave for the offering of the church in Jerusalem. And this is a lot." And so the apostle is reminding them, "My God shall supply all of your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus."
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his free Daily in the Word email devotional and take a look at all the helpful resources. Again, that's paulchappell.com. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell serves as a pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, become a partner in the Word, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at paulchappell.com. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here